Today, we're finally finishing our study of potential. We went through, I don't know how many weeks of understanding your potential, and now we're going through, I don't know how many weeks of releasing your potential. All total, it's probably encompassed most of this year so far with a few interruptions. Well, we're completing that today, and then the fun gets to begin because I expect all of us to start working out and living out the potential we are in Christ. Okay? So we're going to finish that up. We have two more keys to discuss today. And then I can't wait to see what God does in and through us. So Heavenly Father, we just give you this time. We completely open ourselves up to you. We lay down every thought, everything that distracts us, God, and we just ask that you move in and through each person here. We ask that we'd be willing vessels. We ask that you'd accomplish your perfect purpose in everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. So, releasing your potential. Potential is the sum of who you are that has yet to be revealed. Within you is more than I see in you right now. You are more than I see. You are more than you see. You are more than you've shown people. Potential is that which has not yet been shown. It's potential. You know, there was a time I was, me and Lauren, she wanted to go four-wheeling, you know, and honestly, I'd never been four-wheeling. So I go on this back trail out in the middle of the woods, and I'm talking National Forest. There's no one within 10 miles of us. And I don't know all the do's and don'ts, but I go into this bog that I didn't know you shouldn't go into, and I just buried it. So we're miles away from anybody in the middle of this bog. And the potential is that I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. But I learned I could actually lift a four-wheeler by myself out of a bog, get it back on the trail, and got our way out of there. Now, I couldn't walk for like the next week. But there was more potential in my body than I realized at the time. And, you know, a four-wheeler by itself is probably light, but you put it down in a bog, it's even worse. I had to take my shoes off, and it was like up to here. And so it wasn't fun. What's my point? You can accomplish more with Jesus than you realize. Yeah. Doesn't matter the circumstance. Doesn't matter what the situation looks like. You can accomplish way more. So, key number 5. If you don't know the first 4, I'll tell you them a little later, or you can go online and hear it. But key number 5, you must have the right environment to release your potential. Now, God set your ideal environment when he created the garden. Now, way back when, we preached a message on that. You are meant to be in the garden. So, what is that? Because I don't see no plants here. We think of a garden, we think of plants, trees, shrubs. You're meant to be in a garden. Now, Genesis 2:8 says this. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, God created a place for us. He planted, he organized, he provided himself. Your ideal environment is to dwell always, eternally, 24/7 in the manifest presence of God. And everything man needed to live, that's what God provided. That's his environment. God is at the center of your ideal environment. It is there you release who you are. Genesis 3:6 says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Pollution or corruption starts with what we behold. When the woman saw, we must guard our eyes to maintain our ideal environment. Now, what am I saying? I've sung this song several times, and I'm going to do you a favor and not sing it. You're welcome. But what's it say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, whatever circumstance, whatever mountain you're facing, will grow strangely dim. What are you beholding? Remember, your ideal environment is in God's presence. Are you beholding his glory in the midst of the storm? How could Jesus call forth peace? He didn't create peace out of the storm. He was already dwelling in peace in the presence of God. So therefore, it just manifested because he was already there. If you want to release your potential, be in the right environment. Maintain the right environment. Turn your eyes toward heaven and have heavenly thoughts. Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, you put on glasses and you see. Your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So what has God done? He's given us eyes to see. He's also given us guidelines. They're called commandments. His commandments help maintain our ideal environment. Because it tells you the things that he values most. If I tell you all the things I like and enjoy, and you invite me over to your house, and you do all the opposite, I probably won't stay long. I'm being honest. And if you ask me why, I could tell you why. Because you created an environment you know that I don't dwell in. He gave us instruction to create and maintain the environment that he wants to dwell in. You say, well, I don't live in the Garden of Eden. He made you the garden. Do you understand what happened? You were born again. You became his dwelling place. You are the manifest presence of God. You are the ideal environment to release your potential. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's in you? What can the world see? The hope of glory. What does the world need? The hope of glory. What do we see on the news? No hope. Some of you just need to get on the news so the world sees some hope. Why? Because you're a hope carrier. Why? Because you are the manifest presence of God in Christ Jesus for this world. Proverbs 3:1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." Sounds like an awful thing, doesn't it? It's just terrible that he would tell me to do something that would prolong my life and bring me prosperity. What a terrible rule to live by. It's pretty awful. But somehow, sometimes, that's how we treat things that God tells us. I have to do that. No, you don't have to. But let's see. Do you want to live long and prosper? Here might be a key. I want to tell you, well, here's the keys. Well, I don't want to use those. Have a nice drive. That's how we live sometimes. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." They're pretty important. Earlier it says, "So that you can enjoy long life. So that life will go well with you. So that you will greatly increase. So that you will maintain the ideal environment to release your potential." Your ideal environment is key to releasing your potential. Last key. You must work out your potential. Now, some dream of worthy accomplishments, while others actually stay awake and do them. James 2:17 says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So let's put this to rest right away. Key two was you function by faith to release your potential. Okay? All these keys are to be used together. If you're going to function in faith, you will work. If you're not working, you are not functioning in faith. Faith will cause you to act. This act is work. Let's make it clear. Most of us want jobs, but we don't want to work. I went to college, and I kept going to college, and then once they kicked me out of college, I went to graduate school so I could not work. I didn't consider school work, so I kept going to school. I didn't want to work. I'm being honest. I didn't want to work. I watched my dad work. He's probably listening now laughing. He worked from his morning breath of waking up to the time he collapsed and went to sleep, whenever that was, because he got home late because he'd worked a full-time job and second shift, and then everything was work. What you do, he worked. We'd go on vacation, it'd be work. Let's go fishing, it'd be work. You go hunting, it'd be work. It was work. He found a way to enjoy life because you work. What was he doing? He was releasing his potential. I never, ever heard him complain about it. Ever. I've seen people quit a job in the first hour. Why? Because they had to work. Really? I have to pick that up? And no, I don't do that. Off they go. You were hired to pick that up. Yeah, I don't do that. Really? Hired some guys to unload cabinets, got them from a firm. Their job was to unload cabinets. Picked up one cabinet, said, "I don't do that," walked off. Why do I tell you that? Because sometimes that's how we approach God. And then wonder why the potential that he wants to live through us isn't happening. We say, "I don't do that." But that's what you agreed to do. Yeah, I don't do that. Most of us want jobs. We don't want to work, but God wants you to be a good worker, not a good job keeper. Genesis 3:17 says, "To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" I want to say this. Sin did not bring work. I want to make it clear. Why? Because work is a key to releasing your potential. Sin didn't bring work. You are meant to work. You were placed in the garden to work. But it did change the conditions of work. Genesis 2:2 says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing." See, even God works. And he's still working today. "So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." See, we are a rest-oriented society. But rest is not better than work. Work produces more personal growth. Work produces more satisfaction than any rest does. You were not designed to retire. Just make that clear. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. I'll say it again. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. You are not called to be a pew sitter. That doesn't mean you can't sit on pews. That is not your work. Right? You came out of God, and God hasn't retired. He created you with eternal potential and eternal purpose. And he plans on keeping you busy for eternity. God rested when he was finished with what he was doing at the moment. But he didn't retire from still doing today. Work is God's way of releasing your potential. Work requires you to take on new challenges, dares you to risk failure, will show your capacity for success, and prompts you to take steps to make your dreams a reality, to make that which is not seen, seen. God uses busy people. You're not a vessel that's just meant to be set on the shelf and looked at every now and then and dusted off so it stays pretty. You're a vessel he wants to live through. Oh, do you guys understand the adventure and story he has for you? You know, I get excited about going on vacation and stuff because of this adventure, and my wife will say, "What do you want to do?" And I say, "I want to do nothing. Just that I'm there is enough." And she wants to do. You know, God wants to do stuff through you. Matthew 9:37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. God uses busy people. Now, work profits the worker. Now, I'll say this. I own a few businesses. For all the people out there, that employees that think work profits the owners, you guys don't know what you're talking about. That's about as blunt as I can say it. You don't have a clue. You don't understand the enormous weight and burden it is to provide for a mass of people that is under your care, working to provide for their own families. You don't understand this. No, you have to move this picture. You don't understand what God has done for you. That's what I'm getting at. Putting it in our terms because you can understand it. You don't understand what owners sacrifice. You know, a long time ago, I told everybody when I says, I always wanted to be a millionaire. I'm well over that. And I told you guys, I had like no money. Well, I can be a millionaire. Well, I'm worth a lot, apparently. How? I take on a lot of debt. Why? I risk it so others can profit by it. Why? Because that's what I believe I'm called. You understand what God has done? He gave his only begotten son, put him through horror as needed, so you could live abundantly. You don't know what owners pay. You don't understand what God has paid. But he's done it all so you can live out your potential in and through him. He's given it all. Work profits the worker. Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. You do the work, you benefit from the work. Work meets physical needs. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. I'll say that again just because it's good. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. Just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. Work meets physical needs. Work releases potential. Proverbs 16:26, the laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. Work blesses others. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge a harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. You will be made rich in every way. So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You are blessed so you can bless. John 5:17 says, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day. See, I told you, he doesn't retire. And I too am working. Well, I thought he sat down at the right hand of God. Yep, working. It's time to get to work. Time to release your potential. Potential is what you have, each and every person here. Unlimited potential. Work is what you do. What you do with what you have makes the difference between a life of strength and energy and a life of weakness and defeat. Through work, you become who you are because work brings your potential into being. So, to release your potential, you must know your source. Understand your function. Know your purpose. Understand your resources, maintain the right environment, and work out your potential, your six keys, releasing your potential. So, in conclusion of this series, I want to say we've been on a journey for a long time. And we have talked about the kingdom for, wow, couple decades. And we spent the last year and a half talking about our identity and who we are and what our behavior looks like because of who we are. We talked about being in Christ. And I'm not talking about that right now. See, I think most people get that. I think even people that are just stuck in religion get that. Because we can read about who Christ is and say, okay, I'm abiding in that. So what has this series really been about? And I've said this before. This is about who Christ is in you. This isn't about who you are in Christ. See, it's time for the church to let Christ out of the church. What am I saying? It's time for you to let Christ out of this vessel so that you can show others Christ and lead them to Christ. Your potential, in a nutshell, is who Christ is in you. John 19:30 says this, when he had received the drink, Jesus says, it is finished. There's nothing more he has to do. You just need to be a vessel willing to be used. Are you? Really? If you answer it, he'll tell you. He'll give you wonderful opportunities to show it because he loves you that much. 2 Timothy 4:6 says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, as you get older, you realize, you know, this temporary existence is soon going to pass. And you'll just have moved on to realizing fully what eternity is. And will you say you've run a good race? Will you say you've finished? Will you say I know I fulfilled that which he called me to fulfill. Or will you just simply be potential as you stand before God? We're not called just to be potential. John 14:12 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do." So stand with me. I want to say a couple things before we close. To release your potential, it requires one thing. One thing. And I had a conversation with somebody this week who was just distraught. Absolutely distraught over things going on in their life. And they were just having a breakdown, and I'm having all these thoughts, and I just don't want to live because everything, I mean, just. So I'm calmly sitting there as really unaffected by all of it. Not surprised, are you? I mean, this, I was half flipping a coin whether they're just going to go home and I wouldn't see them anymore. Just distraught. And got to the end, I said, I don't know how to help you. It's because I live off a totally different foundation than you. See, you know about God and believe he exists. I know God. I have a relationship with him. He's more real to me than you are sitting before me right now. She looked at me and said, I don't understand that. I said, that's why I don't know how to help you. Because everything I'm going to tell you is hinged on having a relationship with a living Savior. Everything. And I know there's people here today don't understand it. And you might have been in church your entire life. And all you know are rules and guidelines and instructions and religion. Do this and I get to go to heaven. You will never, ever release your potential without one thing. A relationship with a living God. He didn't create you to follow his rules. He's after your heart, not your obedience. You say, well, no, if your heart is for God, you will obey. You will make an environment that he wants to dwell in. If you don't know Jesus as a person, as a living Savior, as Lord, as friend, as brother, as comforter, as guide, as instructor, as lifter of my head, if you don't know him as a person, you need to know him as a person today, because none of this means anything without it. We've wasted months, if that's you. You need to come into a living, real relationship with a God that's alive. We'll meet you here today. He's with you all the time. You can talk to him all the time. You can be having a conversation with him right now, even when you're listening to me. He's alive. So what am I saying? Your potential is Christ in you. Because he is in you, your life will see potential released in greater things. So release your potential. He's waiting for you. So I'm going to close this way. And I know we have a few meetings afterwards. I don't want anyone to leave. I'll watch. I won't chase you, but I will watch. I'm just being honest. I'll notice. I won't think ill of you. I won't. But there has to be a moment of decision at some point in your life. You can go to church and just be church. And it will never bring anything to your life, honestly. Why are we heading into a season of relationship and really getting to know each other? Because he wants to really be in relationship with you. And he wants you to know him in the way that he knows you. And in that, you will find abundant life because now your life has meaning and purpose. So I have two things. If you don't know God that way, if all he's been is a religious figure to you with a bunch of rules and stuff, take the time and ask him to become real to you. Tell me you want a relationship. You don't want to know him that way. You don't want that to be the foundation of your life. And two, if you're willing, if you dare to be bold, and say, Lord, I want my life to be you in me instead of just me in you. I want you to be an outflow of my life. I want you to release all that you've put in me to do so that you will be glorified. I want you to take the time and commit yourself to that. This is a real personal thing to me. So I'm asking that, regardless of your answer to those questions, find a spot, take the time to have a conversation, and let's see what God will do in each of our lives and in us together, because when two or three come together in his name, this world changes. That's our potential. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I bless your people with all the blessings that you've already been waiting to pour out upon them. I release your favor, which you've already granted to them. I release the ability for them to live in your abundance, to live in your manifest presence. I bless their ears that they hear your voice. I bless their eyes so they see your face. I bless their lives so that their lives would bring you glory. And I pray today, Lord, that you will change us. That you will change us more into you. We can't help to be more like you the more we behold you. So let us behold you today and release your potential in these vessels. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a moment with him.